Good to see you here today. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 5, if you will. We will start a new series of lessons, 10 different lessons. And the title of the series is Portraits of Grace. We'll be looking at 10 different Bible characters who, in a time of challenge, experienced the grace of God, and we share that with them and with what God did in their lives. If you do not have an outline, if you'd lift your hands, we do have those available, and the men are ready to pass those out. Just lift your hand and keep them up, and they'll get to you as soon as they can. While they're doing that, let me just say we enjoyed being in Corpus Christi. We hated to be away from all this good weather here and be down there in the 75-degree weather, but we managed to see ourselves through it and enjoyed it very much. We're looking forward to the Mount of Byron Conference. Steve and Michelle Volante are here right up front, and Dr. and Mrs. Ken Fielder. Stand up back there if you would. He's going to be our speaker in both services today. I would have you stand, but everybody knows y'all, so I'll pass that up, all right? But we're looking forward to that, all right? Anyone else need an outline? Okay, let's go to Genesis 5, and today we're going to look at Enoch, the grace to walk with God. Genesis chapter 5, beginning with verse 21, the Bible says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." 65 years, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. He lived to be 365 years of age. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Now, if you will, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll probably come back to this verse in just a little bit. But one verse, verse 5, that's an important verse in relationship to Enoch. And it says in verse 5, Hebrews 11, 5, by faith, well, that's important. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, some of us, when we get saved, we get very, very busy in life, don't we? And sometimes we get so busy that we really do not acknowledge the Lord like we should. In other words, we don't walk close to Him in sweet fellowship with Him as we should. It's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be daily walking in fellowship with God. Now, Enoch knew God, and Enoch walked with God. In Genesis 5, he names a lot of people in that chapter. It's hard to pronounce some of their names, but the only one that is mentioned there in Genesis chapter 5 that walked with God was Enoch. The rest of them, their names were mentioned, and some how long they lived and that type thing. But today we're going to look at three different aspects, as time permits, of walking with God. Walking with God. First of all, let's look at Enoch's relationship. Enoch's relationship. Enoch's name means dedicated or consecrated. If you look up his name in the original language, that's what it would mean. Now, it wasn't an accident with him that he was dedicated and consecrated to God. It'll not be an accident for you and me if we're dedicated and consecrated to God. We'll have to work at it just like he did. And he worked at it, and Enoch's heart's desire, I'm talking about the main thrust of all of his life, his heart's desire totally was to walk with God. That's what he wanted to do. And as a result of that heart's desire, he had fellowship with God and close companionship with God, relationship and fellowship. So he had an abiding relationship. In your outline, you'll see it there. And that is A under your under number one, an abiding relationship. Verse 22 says he walked with God. Verse 24 said he walked with God. That's an abiding relationship. In other words, not occasional, not some occasional encounter with God. There are a lot of Christians that sort of give God a little time every once in a while and have an occasional encounter with God. That's not what God is looking for. But in his life, it was not an occasional thing, but it was a predominant thing in his life. It was number one in his life, the main thing. It was continuous, and it was abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, or in the Old Testament, looking forward to that cross. We are also to abide in Christ today. Are you abiding in Christ? Well, we should be. John 15 says this in verse 4. Abide, that means stay in a relationship. That's what the word literally means. Stay in a relationship. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, he's given the illustration, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So we're supposed to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have to really fight and resist the tendency to wander away from God. All of us fight that. And we sometimes have that urge to wander. But what we need to do is cling to God and cling close to the Lord Jesus Christ and have communion with him. Now, I believe Enoch had various interests along those years, 65, and Methuselah was born, and then 300 years after that. But I'm sure he had some varied interests during that period of time. He had a lot of things that he faced, no doubt, that you and I face. But his focus the whole time was upon his relationship with God. What was his relationship with God? Walking with God. Oswald Sanders said this: it is impossible for a believer, no matter what his experience, to keep right with God if he will not take the trouble to spend time with God. Spend plenty of time with him. Let other things go, but don't neglect him. How often we do that the other way around. Matthew Henry said this. This was his constant care. He's talking about Enoch. This was his constant care and work. While others lived to themselves and the world, describes a lot of Baptists I know, he lived, Enoch, to God. It was the joy of his life, and it was. That was the main thing in his life. And so Enoch's walk was not because he was just a good person. That wasn't it, but it was because he had been reconciled, because he had been saved. He knew what salvation was about. And so we go back to Adam and Eve, and we know they sinned in the Garden of Eden, and that sin messed up their relationship with God. That's why they needed to be reconciled, and so did you, and so did Enoch. Genesis 3:8 says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Why did they hide themselves? Well, they had broken fellowship with him because of sin. But Enoch looked to the cross for his future and the forgiveness of his sins, and we look back to the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. But he believed God would give that sacrifice for his sins. He had confidence in that, and he looked forward to it. Romans 5, 1 and 2 talks about relationship, and our relationship, like that of Enoch, our relationship is one of grace. Romans 5, 1 and 2, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. All of our relationship is because of God's grace. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But thank God it's a privilege that we have. We have a relationship with Him, and we can have no walk with God unless we have salvation. It all starts with salvation. But he had an abiding relationship, and then also a constant relationship, be in your outline, a constant relationship. He had salvation, then he had relationship, and this relationship was a constant relationship, a relationship of constancy. Genesis, in our text, Genesis 5, 22 through 24, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, the beginning point, it seems here, of his walk was after he had Methuselah. When Methuselah was born, perhaps it has been suggested that he realized the responsibility that he had and that he really needed help. When you have children, you do have a responsibility. I got tickled at our granddaughter and the new baby the other day. She was calling Carolyn and saying, "I wish you were here to go to the doctor with me, because this is my first trip with our new baby to go to the doctor," and she was going to have to go by herself. She's realizing what responsibility is. She went, she made it, but it's a new responsibility for her. And so we need to realize our responsibility to God and how we need that help. And it seems to connect there after Methuselah was born that he began to really recognize his need to walk with God, and he did that for the next 300 years. I believe he experienced problems. I believe he experienced God's blessings during that period of time, but he had a continual friendship with God through everything he experienced. And that's what God wants us to have, no matter what we experience. A lot of Christians I know only want a relationship with God when they're going through trials. Boy, they get spiritual when they've got problems. When they're going through some trials, they really do it. They like to use God like a 911 operator. You know, "I've got problems, come help me right now." Or it may be that he is a last resort and everything else has failed, so they'll finally go to God for help. But that's not the way God wants us to do. We need to determine that daily we're going to abide with him. Daily we're going to walk with the Lord in that relationship. Heard about two men that were in a gymnasium, and they were talking, and the first man said, "My wife treats me like a god. My wife treats me like a god." The other man said, "You mean she worships you and she adores you?" And he answered, "No, she ignores me until she wants something." Now, that could be the other way around, too. I understand that. But sometimes we do God that way. We don't walk with him daily. Until we need something, we come to him, and that's not pleasing to God. Ephesians 5:15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Charles Lindbergh earned his spot, of course, in world history. Going back in 1927, he flew the first flight across the Atlantic Ocean. The plane name was the Spirit of St. Louis. Most of you would be familiar with that. But what a lot of people don't know is he had to modify that plane, and he had to make it as light as he could. And one of the things he did was he removed the brakes from that airplane. And so that's sort of an important thing. But he did it, and his objective was to be able to cross, and that was his commitment. And he got rid of any weight or anything that would hinder, because nothing in his mind was going to stop him. And that's exactly what we need to do. Enoch determined there was nothing going to stop him that 300 years from walking with God. And so Enoch had a relationship. Secondly, Enoch's relinquishment. He had to relinquish some things, give up some things. So if we walk with God, it's true that we will have to eliminate some things in our life. If we're really going to walk in communion and fellowship with him. Hebrews 12 tells us, verses 1 and 2, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So what he's saying to us is, if we're going to walk in close communion, fellowship with God, there's some things we may have to get rid of and give up in our lives. Surprise that many of us, probably most everybody in here, has done that. But there may still be something in your life. You have to deal with that. We have to deal with that all the time. There still may be some sin in your life now, even today, after you've been saved a long time, that you need to give up. Something like a runner's weight that hinders you in the race. Maybe something that's not so sinful, but something that is enemy of the very best that God deserves out of us. We're just not giving him our very best. It may be bitterness. It may be some addiction that you hadn't gotten over. It may be jealousy, envy, pride, all of those different things. Now, when he's talking about complete relinquishment, what does he mean by that? Well, it means that he must trust God's timing, in your outline. He's to trust God's timing. Relinquish everything over to God. We live in a very fast-paced world, don't we? We want instant this and instant that, and if we have to wait any length of time for anything, if we just get all bent out of shape, whether it's a restaurant or the doctor's office or wherever it is. But we need to know that in this fast-paced society that we live in, we need to be like Enoch, who waited on God as he walked with God, waited on his timing. God does not work on my schedule or your schedule, but God always works on his schedule. And sometimes we want his timing to be our timing, or our timing to be his. But here's the instruction in the Word of God to us about how to handle that. Psalm 27:14. What does it say? "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Sometimes we just need to wait. Micah 7:7. "Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Some people, because they don't want to wait on the Lord and things happen, they quit. They get discouraged and quit. But not Enoch. He knew to wait on the Lord. Our responsibility always is to wait on God's timing. Even if we don't understand it, we're to wait on God's timing. And you remember, we do have an enemy called Satan. And Satan wants to defeat us. He fights us all the time, and he wants to drive you away from that constant walk with the Lord. Even if it's for a short season, for a little while, he can get you down. But what we need to do is fight it, and don't let him do it. And if you run into discouragement or problems, don't quit. Run to Jesus. Take it to him right away. And I promise you, he can handle it, and he'll help you out. It's not your timetable, but it's God's timetable. And if we're going to walk with him, we've got to trust him. We have to trust him completely. And that's exactly what he did. Enoch trusted God's timing, and he relinquished himself, being your outline, to pursue God's calling. He trusted his timing, and he relinquished himself to pursue God's calling. When we think of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's exactly what they did. Matthew 4:18-20. The Bible says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they waited a long time and argued about it." No. "And they straightway left their nets and followed him. So if we do what they did and do what God tells us to do, pursue God's calling, and we walk with God, it will be apparent to us and it will be apparent to other people as they look at our lives. So Enoch did what God told him to do. He continued that relationship, even though I know there were times he could have quit and wanted to quit probably, but he continued that relationship all the way until he entered into eternity. He didn't even die. Genesis 5:24 in our text verses. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God what? God took him. He didn't even die. The verb took in this verse means to take in hand. And the idea is it's sort of like God reached down with his hand and took the hand of Enoch and just took him right on up to heaven. That's a beautiful picture, I think, of what happened there. But he was instantly translated. The only other one we know anything about like that is Elijah in the Word of God. Hebrews 11:5 now in our other text verse says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, what? That he pleased God. That he pleased God. The verb translated here means to transpose two things, one of which is put in place of the other. In other words, to transfer or change. And he was translated. Here we have a picture of the rapture. Hey, I hope I get to go up in the rapture. I prefer that to death. I want to go up to the rapture. Could happen any time. That'd be great. 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 53. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. You know the rest of that. But in verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Then 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. I'm having to hurry these verses to get all this in. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which remain in alive shall be changed, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, our loved ones who've gone on before us, who were saved, they're with the Lord. Amen? And on that occasion at the rapture, they'll come back and their bodies will be raised, and that'll be a wonderful time when they'll receive their glorified bodies. And then those of us that are living during that time will be translated, and very much like Enoch, we'll go up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then thirdly, we'll look at Enoch's reliance. Enoch's reliance. Enoch had a great friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's no way he could have had that friendship without relying on the Lord. Are you relying on the Lord today? 100%. We need to do. It's impossible to have that friendship without trusting God. And so many times we worry, we fret, we bite our fingernails off, we take prescribed drugs. Sometimes I understand there's a need for some of those things, but a lot of times rather than having the peace of God in our hearts, we do these other things. Warren Wiersbe said this, true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Let me read that again. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. And that is so true. Then a popular verse in our context in Hebrews 11, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, what? That he pleased God. In verse 6 tells you about one of the reasons, one of the main reasons he pleased God. And this is, we quote this verse all the time, verse 6, but in the context, it's talking about Enoch. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So it is connected to faith. And Enoch had faith in God. 300 years he relied on God, and he could not do it without faith. And so this develops something that we would call a testimony. A, in your outline, he develops a testimony. Hebrews 11:5 tells us Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. That's good, isn't it? He had this testimony that he pleased God. The Greek word is martyr, which means literally an affirmation or good report. An affirmation or good report. He had this affirmation that he pleased God, and he had a good testimony, as you can see here. And it was easy, it was not easy, for him to have a good testimony. You say, well, it was easy for him because of the society that day, not as bad as ours. Are you kidding? It was terrible. He lived in a horrible time. Genesis 6:5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. How's that for an area to live in? How's that for an environment? So it wasn't easy for him, but we can have a strong testimony in our wicked world, and we can be the light that God wants us to be in the dark world around us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Enoch stood for right. He did not apologize either. Enoch was a straightforward preacher, Jude 14 and 15. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He preached it straight, didn't he? He said, you're going to be judged. You're ungodly, you're going to be judged. But he had a great testimony and great influence. I've had people in my life who had great testimonies and great influence. One of those that has influenced me is Dr. Barber, and another was a friend of mine who just recently went home to be with the Lord, named Olander. We called him Red English, and he had a great testimony. People loved him. He influenced many, many, many lives. You and I should be that to other people. We should be that to other people. So what kind of testimony do you have? Do you rely on God? Or do you sort of, even as grandparents, try to blend in with the world and your grandchildren? We need to rely on God in order to have a great testimony. And then B in your outline, that pleases God. It pleases God. Hebrews 11:5-6, for before his translation he had this testimony. What's that? That he pleased God. Without faith it's impossible to please him. So how do you exercise this faith? Well, you get saved. After you're saved, you trust him daily. You don't run ahead of God. You don't lag behind God. He walked with God. And that's a picture of what we should do. And we need to trust him. Satan attacks, and he tries to put doubt in our hearts and uncertainty. But we cannot let him do that. We've got to walk with God, and don't allow him to do that. If we walk with him every day, we're going to win the victory. So what is your legacy today? What's it going to be in your life, in my life? Is it going to be like Enoch? What kind of portrait are you going to leave behind in your life and even now influencing people? Will it be one that says, I know her and I know him? They walked with God. They really walked with God. So how do you do that? Well, you get saved. You relinquish your timing. You lay aside the weights, you rely on God to develop a testimony in your life, and that's what happens when you rely on him. So salvation is instant, but discipleship takes a lifetime. And we need to be growing in the grace of the Lord. Don't fail to grow. Walk with God. That ought to be our legacy, our testimony. Enoch walked with God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. May we listen to it, follow it, and may the preeminent thing in our life be our desire from our hearts to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.